A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to the SyrupCast, Mobile Syrup's Canadian tech-focused podcast. I'm Patrick O'Rourke, and Brad Bennett, a man who refers to himself as the bad boy of tech, is once again, as always, across the internet from me at an undisclosed location. How are you doing, Brad?
I'm good. I'm trying to masquerade as a child to work my way up into the Formula One circuit, and I think you need to start as a kid, so that's what I'm doing this week. I've watched a lot of Drive to Survive on Netflix.
I was just going to say, because you're watching that.
I finished it, yeah. I just finished like season three, I think it just came out or whatever. But yeah, super, super fun. So now I need to drive. I need to win.
I watched half of season one and then I forgot about it. So I should go back and finish that.
Alex just went back and is now watching season one and two.
It's such a good idea for a reality show.
It is.
All right. We also have Dean Daly on the podcast with us today. How are you doing, Dean?
I'm good. I'm a little lost. I have no clue what you're talking about, but it sounds... very straight and white, so maybe that's why.
I don't know. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if two of the drivers are gay, but it is probably pretty straight as a concept. It's like a behind-the-scenes reality show based on Formula One circuit, which sounds really dumb, but the amount of like drama that actually unfolds there is pretty nuts. It's a pretty like high-tension workplace, and I think that puts a lot of like just drama in the show.
Okay. All right. Cool.
This is the best opening to the podcast we have ever done, for sure.
Yeah, well, people need to know right off the bat that we've switched. We're not doing tech anymore. We're not even doing like electric cars. It's just Formula One. We're here.
Isn't there like a Formula E or something? Like an electric car? Okay, cool. Maybe we'll do an episode.
In my first year at Mobile Syrup, I got invited to one and I said no because I was like, I don't know if this is something that like we should do or I should do. And I had to go to like Montreal and take all these days off work to do it. And it is one of the biggest regrets I have.
I totally would have been like, go do that. That's sick.
I actually remember you talking about it. I think you brought it up to me in conversation. And it's just like, I don't know, the worst that happens if they say no. And you're like, no, I'm not going to ask.
Yeah, no, it was pretty early on, I think. But
yeah.
Either way, I'm hoping it'll come back. I'll get another shot at it.
So on this week's episode, we're talking about LG finally officially confirming that it's leaving the smartphone industry. And also, we'll probably briefly talk a little bit about Apple's rumored April event, because it's probably going to finally happen, maybe, sort of, we hope. But before that, Bennett, please hit us with the hottest news of the week.
First thing is a bit of telecom news. This week, a bunch of industry experts, I guess, big people in the telecom space, like university professors, people who study it.
Michael Geist was a big part of the hearing, I know that for sure.
Yeah, they basically held a hearing with like government regulatory bodies on and about the Rogers and Shaw merger that we talked about last time on the podcast. And I think basically it seems like the gist that I read from Aisha's reporting is that like everyone is against it, surprise, surprise, for the most part. Or at least that Freedom needs to be spun out. It's not going to be as good. They do a lot of comparing to like the Bell MTS merger from a few years ago. It seems negative from these perspectives.
The big takeaway, I think, for our readers and listeners is that industry experts largely think that this will result in higher wireless prices.
Yeah. I think every single person that I was talking about in her story, all of the experts, all of them were saying like, yeah, Freedom said they're not going to raise their prices for 3 years, which everyone here knows that means that after 3 years, they'll raise their prices. So what's the point?
We'll do another episode with Aisha, I think, at some point soon, just to get an update on that situation as the hearings continue to happen.
Yeah. But beyond that, back in the truck space, back in me, you know, I'm a big truck guy. Chevy said that they're going to be building electric Silverado. Basically, they just said they're going to be building it, which isn't like the biggest piece of news because we all knew that someday Chevy was going to build an electric Silverado. Like, how could they not? But they are. They confirmed it. They've confirmed no specs about it other than it might have somewhere around a 650-kilometer range, basically built on like the same battery platform as the electric Hummer. So I guess a lot of the core specs you could see of the electric Hummer, like its horsepower, its range, its you know, torque and speed and that types of things will probably be very similar on the Silverado, but a lot of those like flashier features like the grab walk tires and the removable roof and like all the add-on stuff will, I think, will probably not be there, because it'll be more of a, hopefully at least it'll be more of a regular like consumer truck that regular people can like afford and buy and use for like work and actual like truck things. You know,
I don't have anything really to add. It's just cool to see legacy automakers finally playing catch up and embracing the concept of electric vehicles and taking legacy brands too that they have and turning those into electric cars. It's neat.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what the electric like Ford F-150 and Silverado look like. Sorry, Dean.
Yeah, I used to work for GM, so I know they're pretty proud over there. Like, they're pretty proud of their especially the Chevy brand and their Silverado. So it's like, it's cool to see that they are realizing that times are changing and they gotta move on up.
Yeah, the electric truck, like just the truck market in North America is huge. So the electric truck market theoretically should explode much faster than the car market. But I mean, we'll see what happens. It's been slow going, and I don't think everyone's buying the Cybertruck as much as Tesla maybe wishes. This next piece of news actually is kind of related to driving as well, but it's Google Assistant Auto Driving Mode. So if you remember all the way back from 2019 at Google I/O in May, I believe, Google showed off this like version of Google Assistant where you basically get in your car and you say, "Hey Google, let's drive." And your phone, Google Assistant, basically switched into this version of like Android Auto, but it looks very much like Google Assistant and is, I don't know, it was just a really cool idea. It kind of like hinted that Google Assistant could become its like own operating system that sort of like morphs into whatever you need it when you need it, which is like kind of happened, but hasn't really like come to fruition yet. And that's what Google Assistant driving mode was supposed to be. Didn't happen. Now it's like this add-on to Google Maps where you can still say like, "Hey Google, let's drive." And it will like kick off into Maps and you can quick access to your like music apps and a bunch of other stuff and like quick access to Google Assistant. But overall, it's kind of just like a repackage of a lot of features that we already had. Yeah, I'm sad about it. I don't know.
My car has first generation Ford Sync, so I don't care about anything to do with Android Auto or CarPlay because I don't want to buy a new car anytime soon.
This is on your phone. Like, is this just on your, like, is this for people to get their phones on their dashboards?
So I do that. So this is something that I could use.
Yes. Now, when you open Google Maps, if you have like it's weird because you have to like enable this. You have to like go into settings, go into navigation settings, and then like enable Google Assistant driving mode. But once you open Maps and you're on that navigation screen, you know, where it's like showing you turn left in a kilometer and a half or whatever, there'll be a little like at the bottom, it's usually a green bar showing you, I think, how far until the next turn. It's like a green bar at the bottom. Now there's another gray bar below that with like a quick access to Google Assistant and an app launcher that is basically just, mostly music apps were in there. There's some podcast apps in there for me. And then also there's quick access to like send messages or phone calls to people you've recently sent messages or phone calls to. It's like a quick dial or a quick message thing through using Google Assistant. Like, you're not typing, you're just, I want to send a message to Pat, and then it would be like, "What do you want to say?" And you would say, "I want to say, hey, Pat, I'm on my way, I'm driving," something like that. It's, I mean, you could do that already through Google Assistant just using voice commands, but now it's a little more interactive, which I guess should make it more accessible to people because they'll know it exists, but more dangerous because now they'll be touching their phones more than they were previously. Or less, I
Maybe
guess.
Maybe I'll give it a shot.
I guess I just was excited about it. In the future, I was like, Google Assistant, sly. Google is making this secret operating system. It's going to control smart speakers and cars and everything. And it didn't happen. But maybe it will. Beyond that, not driving related, E3 happening this summer, online only. What do you guys think about that? I know you're both big gamers.
I continue to be surprised that E3 still exists.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that it was going to die several years ago. I thought that when they opened it up to the general public and it was no longer just like a press specific event, that was sort of the last year that it would end up happening. So, I mean, it's kind of cool that it's still around. I don't think that a remote event, despite being free, is going to be as big as like the in-person, like bombastic, huge thing that E3 usually is. And then it's also important to note that PlayStation still isn't going to be at the show, which is a notable absence. The only two like big video game companies in terms of the hardware manufacturers that will be there are Nintendo and Xbox, just like previous years.
But even then, now that it's digital, like Okay, let me take a step back. From my experience with E3, ever since I've been in high school, I was like, I'm not going there, obviously, because I wasn't a journalist and I'm not like that into it that I'm going to like put myself on a plane and fly to E3 to go as a public. So my experience with E3 is I just like watch all the presentations online and it's a good time. It's like you probably get like 5 to 7 hours of content over a few days out of that.
And I did that too.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you make some popcorn, you watch the... Now we watch it and we write about it a little bit for work if we have to. But, you know, you just watch the presentations and it's a good time. Do you not think like, yeah, like if E3 wasn't dead yet, why do we even need it now? Like if you can't physically actually go in person, can't each company just like put up their own press thing? Like this is what Sony is likely going to do. They're going to just put out their own event really around the same time.
Sense. Like last year, they just canceled it, right? From what I remember, like there was just no E3 and there was just a summer of gaming. Right, so I think that just made more sense.
The summer gaming wasn't related to E3. It was like a separate thing. That Jeff Keighley was doing.
But like, it's just each publisher just do their own things. They launch their own videos. I don't think E3 is really. Don't get me wrong. I really enjoyed it. I used to sit down. I used to time each conference. I used to before mobile startup. I used to actually take the time off of work to even just
used to do that too.
And like I knew the Bethesda
conference.
Thank you. I can.
It is fun though. Like if you're a big nerd, it feels like a concert or a performance. Yeah. It feels like something worth watching. It's really fun.
But like it would always be around like 11 p.m. ET. Like it was always the latest one. So you're like, okay, I gotta stay up even though I have work the next morning. Or like I don't know. It was fun while it lasted. I just don't think it's still necessary.
The thing that's changed is that so all of these video game publishers, console manufacturers do their own events over the course of the year. So it's no longer like this one big, huge video game thing where all of the announcements are, right? Mm-hmm. It's often like updates to things that have previously been revealed. Sometimes there's big reveals, like don't get me wrong, but it's just not as like the content shown off at E3 often isn't as fresh as it was even just a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that's probably fair. It's still nice to see, though. And, like, it's nice to wait, you know? Like, yeah, we know, like, EA and everybody is going to have, like, conferences throughout the year. But it's nice to be like, okay, like, this is E3. You know, there is, like, a little bit of magic in the air. What are we going to see? Even if it's, like, new gameplay or, like, some weird indie. You know what I mean? Like, I think Sea of Solitude, which is, you know, things like that always pop up.
Yeah, I agree with that, too. Like, even, like, we know that Nintendo's going to be there, so that means we can wait for the next Pokemon trailer for this new Pokemon game that we know it's coming out. It's going to probably also be there. That's kind of like something to look forward to instead of just a random event that no one knows exactly when the date will be. So, like,
yeah, there's something about condensing it all in the course of, like, what, was E3, like, about 3 days, 2 days?
It's like a week in total. It's from the Sunday to the Thursday.
Yeah, but the conferences were usually only the first 3 days, and then the rest of it. It's kind of like MWC.
And then they started to bleed into the Sunday, too, like Bethesda would do one on the Sunday, which obviously Bethesda wouldn't be doing their own anymore because they're owned by Microsoft.
I think they still might. I think they still might do their own. They always were, like, heavily involved in the Microsoft presentation anyway, you know what I mean? Like, when Fallout 4 came out, you saw it at Bethesda, Microsoft came the next day, and you got, like, a lot of Fallout 4 gameplay information.
I guess maybe. I just think that Microsoft would fold it into their own presentation because they bought them for a reason, right? Like,
I think that they will fold it into their own presentation, but I think that they're honestly better off hitting twice. You know what I mean? Like if we were to write a story twice, we'll get more clicks than if we do it once. And I think Bethesda and Microsoft kind of have that same deal here where they can get more press separate than working like just doing it once. But we'll see. You know, I think it could go either way, to be honest.
What other news do you got for us?
Yeah, the last piece, that one was fun, both. The last piece is Google. There's like rumors that Google's making their own chip for the next Pixel. So, you know, there's not much to go on really, but it's exciting. You know, Apple is like a dominant force in the chip industry. Huawei was up until a certain point a few years ago.
Samsung too, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
They're working with Samsung on this chip. That's the rumor. I wrote this story on the weekend. I think that this is a good idea, right? Like that's the like behind the scenes thing that makes the iPhone special isn't just that like the A series chips are more powerful than what Qualcomm's doing in the Snapdragon with the Snapdragon. It's the like synergy of the hardware working with that chip. So if Google's able to tap into that magic with its own proprietary, I believe it's based on Exynos Samsung architecture in some way,
because they're
working
sense.
With Samsung. if they're able to tap into that, that's great. Like, that gives the Pixel another advantage over other Android devices. Will it be enough to like make Canadians think that Android is more than just Samsung Galaxy devices? Probably not. But like for enthusiasts, it's definitely a win.
I think that's like short term, but I think like long term is like Google is probably trying to play the same game as Apple. I mean, if you can, now that Apple's like full stack, got everything exactly, like it's tablets, phones, computers are all using the same chips. I mean, a manufacturer that size to compete, like Microsoft has ARM surfaces. I mean, Google has to figure it out on their own as well. And I think like you kind of have to be pushing forward that way. And if you're going to be working in the ARM space, and like if that's where computing is going just in general, you might as well be working on like your own chip as opposed to like just whatever Intel or ARM or Samsung. Well, even though this is kind of Samsung, we'll sell you off the shelf, you know.
Dean, do you have anything to add to it? Because you're Mr. Pixel Android man. I was waiting for you to say something.
I was just thinking like you can do a whole pod on just this. Like, just even though it's such a little thing, like they might make their own chip. Like, it's at least in Canada. I don't know about the market like share in other countries, but at least in Canada, there's only really two big phone players, like smartphone players now, and it's really just Samsung and Apple. And the more you like, we'll get into this more with LG, but the more you're starting to see all these different companies leave the Canadian market. I was just talking about how I think in the last 3 years, there's been like five different brands that are just not here really anymore. So the fact that Google is thinking about making their own chip will kind of put them in their own little, like, this is what differentiates them against something like Samsung, which is like another big Android company. They're just trying to be like in their own little space. They're trying to make their own little, like their own kind of like iPhone.
Yeah, they need to carve out their own fans.
Yeah, everyone always says like this is like the iPhone of Androids, or the Android of iPhones. I don't know. People always say that stuff like that about Pixel phones, and this will really push it. I think this will push it forward, and it will in like give it if Google makes it in like next 5 years, it will be the phone market in Canada. I think will be Pixel, iPhone, and Samsung. Samsung will be the Androids. Google is also Androids, obviously, but they are there now. They'll be their own type of Android, and then iPhones.
The only thing I don't like about Samsung compared to Google and Apple in this scenario is like both Google and Apple have like strong, big like OSs outside of the phone sphere, as where Samsung's like once you get to their tablets. And like I was reading through the comments on my Samsung tab reviews, and there is a very strong, very, very strong contingent of Samsung tablet users out there who hate me. But love Samsung tablets. So, you know, there are people that use them, but I really don't think the Samsung like productivity force is anywhere near what like a Mac or a Chromebook is still. And yeah, come at me, Samsung people. I know you're mad, but that's how I feel.
My mom is probably one of those commenters. She loves.
Yeah, no, but she has one. She uses on the side, doesn't she? She's not like she's using it as her main productivity device.
Oh, I mean, like right now she uses it as her main productivity device.
Does she use it for Dex?
Crazy.
No, she just uses not the newest tablet, but the one from the year before.
Okay.
Yeah. That's still better than Dex. Dex is weird.
Yeah, Dex is weird. Annoying. But yeah.
Should we move on to LG?
Yeah, let's talk about LG. We already are basically doing it anyways.
What does LG stand for again? We should really clarify that before we get into this. I think that's necessary.
Something, doesn't it?
Yeah, life's good.
Yeah, it stands for life's good, dude. Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yeah, life's good, really? Baby. Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
I don't know. I think it is. We can look it up, but their slogan is life's good.
I'm going to Google it right now live on the podcast. What does LG stand for? You can even hear the typing.
Mm-hmm. That's what we need. Like, it's like that.
No way.
Yeah man.
I had no idea. Well, life's not so good for Samsung right now.
For LG right now, you mean?
Oh, yes.
Samsung's probably hyped. They're like, we were already winning, but less competitors, the better.
Life is good for Samsung right now and not good for LG. So over the weekend, I just happened to be online really late. Dean sent me a message and along the lines of, yo, did you see that press release? And then I checked my email. And late Sunday night, which I assume is the morning in South Korea. Yeah, was it Sunday night?
Yeah, it was Sunday night. And they said it was Monday morning, South Korea.
Monday morning. That's, okay. Yeah. LG officially announced that it's leaving the smartphone industry. We've seen rumors about this forever from different South Korean publications. So it was something that was almost certainly going to happen. I know that they were talking about maybe selling the company to like another smartphone brand or a totally different entity.
Yeah, and Volkswagen.
Was it Volkswagen? Yeah.
One of the options.
That's so funny. Imagine the Volkswagen LG Wing.
Yeah.
The LG Wing is like, the engineers knew they were going under and they were like, we're just having fun with this one.
100%. We don't care. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
They were just like, this is our last hurrah. We're going to do whatever we want.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, it's interesting. LG has a long legacy in the smartphone industry that we're going to talk about very shortly. But I'll just read the quote, the main quote from the press release. And then I have like a little tidbit that was towards the bottom of the press release that I found kind of funny. So they said that LG's strategic decision to exit the incredibly competitive mobile phone sector will enable the company to focus on resources in growth areas such as electric vehicle components, connected devices, smart homes, robotics, artificial intelligence, and business-to-business solutions, as well as platforms and services. So the other thing that they said right after this was that LG plans to focus its work on 6G now that it's no longer in the smartphone industry. 6G isn't even a thing. So like, along with the other buzzwords they threw in here, they also just made another one up.
LG. I personally, to be completely honest, from this press release and how poorly LG handled its phone business over the last four or five years, maybe more, it's not surprising. It honestly seems like a company that doesn't really know what's up. They make good TVs, but even those are like over the top and filled with frivolous features that are making them more expensive than consumers need.
But there's that flagship one that everybody's buying right now for the new consoles.
They're buying it because it's the C6. Only one they can buy for their modern consoles. Yeah, give it a year and people won't be buying it anymore because it's not worth it. Unless LG puts out I love LG TVs. They're the best in the market, no doubt about it. But the added like software features and the things that they add to them are so unnecessary. They could easily cost less if they just like weren't having an R&D department that has run out of things to do.
Dean, you cover LG stuff for the site. I used to many years ago. I reviewed the G4 before I came to Mobile Syrup. I reviewed the G5. I'm going to open up my G5 review to remind myself what I said about that phone because I don't remember it. It was so long ago. But you like LG's devices, right? Like you like the Velvet. You gave it a pretty good review. You've reviewed some of the like dual screen phones that came out in the last little bit. You liked those. How does this make you feel? Like, do you care that LG is no longer going to make phones anymore? I personally don't because I haven't liked their devices in half a decade, right? But does this matter to you as someone who is somewhat of a fan of LG phones?
I wouldn't call myself a fan. No,
your review scores say otherwise.
Yeah, because all in all, they're not bad phones. I don't think they are decent phones. I have had an uncle who has an LG G8, I think, and he enjoys it. And it's nothing they do, I want to say, is bad. A lot of what they do is not worth it. And a lot of what they do is not as good as other companies.
Notably Samsung.
Yeah, that's Samsung. Yeah, which I think is their biggest issue. Like the LG Velvet was cool because it was a mid range phone that was you can get it for $600 on Videotron or something like that. Not everywhere had it for that low, but you could find it for that low price, and I thought that was great.
Yeah, that was a fair phone.
Yeah, it was pretty. It came in pink. I'm all about that, but nothing about the phone was necessarily all that great. And that phone came out before the Pixel 5. If it was the opposite way around, I don't even know if the Velvet would have seemed as good because the Pixel 5 was a mid-range phone that was more affordable, that was better, right? So it's type of thing where I just don't think LG knew what it was doing after the G5.
That's what I've been saying. They have no idea what they've been doing for years in like any department. Well, yeah, that's like, not true, but
the G5 had its friends. The G6 had a processor that was a year behind than anything else that came out that year. The G7 was honestly like a shining light for LG. People were like, oh my gosh.
I don't even remember the G7.
Wait, was that the one with the leather back and the slightly curved front like a banana?
That's like the G4. Pretty sure, yeah.
The G4 has the leather back. It was really cool.
Yeah, the G7, I didn't review it, I'm pretty sure. That was their first Thank You phone, I want to say.
Rose.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember this one. Yeah, the Thank You branding, too, is...
It was very super strange. Super strange. But it was, Rose called it safe and sound. And I got to, when Rose was finished the review, I got to use it next. And it was a good phone. She it was something where it was like, finally, LG seems like it wasn't obviously the best phone on the market, but it was kind of going the right way. And then they went the G8 and that hand BS.
They had the G7 1 in between there too, which I wrote down as one of my favorites because it was like super cheap and it ran stock Android. It was like
100%. I don't know why they didn't just keep running stock Android and stuff.
Yeah, honestly.
But the G8 had the hand thing. It made no sense.
What's the hand thing?
The hand motion thing where you can control the music or pull up
Google. Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, I remember.
You could, put your hand over it and, twist it.
Yeah, to turn up the volume.
It was, an old-school Samsung gimmick from, the early 2010s.
Yeah, it was a huge gimmick.
I mean, it was fun for me to have, to play with. I remember Bennett and I did, we tried to do a video of it. Yeah. That actually might be online. It was a fun gimmicky phone, but no one should buy it because there was other options. Then they started doing dual screen phones. I mean, people love them. I've heard some good things about them in my reviews or comments and whatever.
But you don't build a cell phone business on gimmicks like that.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't great. They kind of lost sight of what they were doing years ago, and because of that, they failed, I think. And LG UX was not great. It was. It kind of reminded me of TouchWiz. A little bit better than TouchWiz, but it kind of reminded me of that. I think it's also a big downfall because the LG took a long time to get a lot of their updates, like a lot of Android updates. It was one of the slowest. It is probably the slowest in the Android market. All of this is what made the company fail, in my opinion.
Yeah, I was just going to ask. So I guess what you're saying is that it's several factors. It's not one thing, right? Like it's not a lack of sales. It's not COVID. It's like a bunch of different stuff combined to result in this decision.
I think a lot of those things combined is what created the lack of sales.
Okay.
Which is what created, they have been doing, I forgot what the word is, but they haven't been doing great sales. Why they've been taking a loss. They have been operating at a loss for the last 5 years. Right. So they, and 5 years ago, if you go back 5 years ago, that's kind of around the G5, G6, right?
Yep.
So they haven't been able to pick themselves out of this hole since back then. And it's for these reasons why the crappy UX, crappy gimmicks, camera okay. It's just, I don't know, other companies have gotten a lot better, whereas LG got a lot
just
sideways. Like they went a different way and it wasn't better.
And yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even the Velvet, it was just like a nice phone with a nice price, but it was huge and off-puttingly pink for probably a lot of people. Had that phone been $100 less and gray, probably would have sold way better. No, I like colors.
I think it did come in black as well.
Did it? Okay.
Yeah.
It's a nice minimalist design too. I have one right now. Bell sent me one for this story that I'm working on about 5G stuff. But yeah, I used it a little tiny bit. It feels nice in your hand.
Yeah, it did feel nice. This was probably their best thing for a while. And that's just kind of unfortunate because it's just
a mid-range phone. So let's switch this. Let's switch gears a little tiny bit with this conversation. What I want to do now is each of us are going to come to the table with our favorite LG device over the years and sort of explain why we really liked it. So I'll go first. The last LG phone that I used consistently and probably, 100%, it was the last review that I did was the G5. That phone was not good, first of all, but it did interesting things in the in the smartphone space, right? Like it was one of the first devices to have a wide angle camera, right? Which is now standard across the industry. And the wide angle camera, for being like a first generation one in a smartphone, performed pretty well. Like when I got that review unit, I was at Mobile World Congress, and I just remember like walking around a park in Barcelona, like being amazed at how cool it was to be able to take this type of photo from a smartphone. Mm-hmm. And then building off that, like friends, again, they sucked. They were bad. They were not good. There was like the 360 camera. There was the headset. A lot of the friends, you had to like take the battery out of the G5 in order to connect it, which makes absolutely no sense. And then also on top of that, why did the LG G5 have a removable battery? Like I know some people really like that, but then yeah, that was another whole thing altogether. But like I was writing the notes for this pod, like I was going through and just looking at my G5 review, and even looking back at it, I still feel like this poll quote that I have in there is something that I believe about the G5. So what I said back then, when did this go live? I think it was like 2016. Yeah, March 29th, 2016. That's hilarious.
Wow.
A little over a year. So what I said was, it's hard not to admire what LG has attempted to accomplish with the G5. And I still feel like that. Like that phone tried to do different things that at the time in the industry, other companies weren't doing. It may have not done them well, but LG took a chance with it and it didn't work out. And I still respect it.
Took a lot of chances. Too many chances, though.
Too many chances.
Can you explain the friends situation just to clear it up, though, just in case anyone doesn't know?
Oh, they're
know.
Moto mods.
Yeah, they're Moto mods.
Yeah. You add like a camera thing to it.
There was a separate 360 camera that was one of the first portable 360 cameras. I remember
that was such a weird time. The 360 camera time.
It's so weird. I remember like just walking around San Francisco holding my hand in the air and like taking 360 cameras everywhere, and people would like 360 shots everywhere, and people were like looking at me like I was crazy.
You're probably looking at yourself. What are you even doing with that footage?
I took them. Where did I go? I went to like that area of the city where like the Golden Gate Bridge is. It's like a huge park.
Yeah.
I think it's called like the Presidio or something like that. And I was walking through trails and taking pictures of like the vistas and the scenic landscapes and stuff.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
That are available there. And they were really cool.
Yeah.
But you couldn't do anything with the photos. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You couldn't share them on Twitter. You couldn't put them on Facebook.
Although I think you can now.
Maybe. I don't know. Back then you couldn't. Like,
somebody
did
get the Essential Cam 361.
But could you share those shots on Twitter? Like, I remember writing the story and I couldn't embed them on the website. So it's like you're writing about a 360 camera, but you can't even talk about like what the photos look like.
Yeah.
And then there was a VR headset, which was horrible. It had like crazy light bleeding issues and there's nothing for it. And what else was there? There's one other friend.
I think there's a speaker, I want to say. Yeah, I could be wrong.
I think there is a speaker, yeah. Which again, to attach the speaker, it's not like a Moto mod where you just slap it on the back. You had to like take the battery out and put the speaker in. Like yeah. it was not good, but they were the first company to do it. And I always have this level of respect for companies that try something kind of insane, even if it doesn't
fair work. Enough. You know what? That's fair. I'll give you that.
Who wants to go next?
I can go next. So the first one I had written down, this actually came from Samir when we were talking about this the other day, and it's not even a true LG phone, but it's the Nexus 4. Because LG didn't do the Nexus 5, right? That was HTC, or am I off base? Does anyone remember?
I do not remember.
I can't tell you.
But the LG like Nexus phones were pretty slick, and I mean, that's what I liked. I'm a Pixel fan now because I like stock Android, so back in the day. And the Nexus 4 too was like, that was right when I was getting into Android. I was about to get it, and then the Nexus 5 came out, so I ended up with that. But it was so cool.
They did make
just
the 5.
Like,
they did make
okay,
the
perfect.
5.
So both of those.
The 5X as well.
5X. Oh, yeah, because that was the they made like the 6P and then the 5X.
Yeah, and the 6P was HTC and the 5X.
Oh, the 5X. I totally forgot that existed.
But those Nexus phones were sweet. They were like super priced, but yeah, the Nexus 4 was cool. It was like one of the first phones I think to have wireless charging, and if I remember, it came like you could get this wireless charging dock that was like an orb that it sat on that was super cool.
I think.
And then on top of that, like the back of it being that like holographic like depth glass pattern was I actually liked it. I mean, I don't know if it would hold up if I was like to see it now, but I at the time I thought it was like a really like subtle way to add some character to a phone. And then beyond that, just the other one is the LG G7 1, which, you know, in terms of modern LG phones, I think that that's probably where LG should have been like focusing more of their efforts than on dual screen devices with 5G and crap like that.
I enjoy that you picked two LG phones without any LG software.
Yeah, well, that's, that says a lot about me, but that's where I'm at.
Yeah, I want to go as far back as the LG Chocolate. That was great.
LG Rumor 2. I forgot about that.
The LG Rumor. I loved it. It was my favorite, one of my favorite phones. I think that for their last hurrah, they should have made a smartphone version of the Rumor somehow with a slide-out keyboard.
That was such a cool era in smartphones before like consistent operating systems were a thing. Yep. Companies were just doing like the most insane stuff to try to catch people's attention.
And I loved it. I can just keep going. The LG G3, I worked at Best Buy when I, and I bought it, and I was just like, this is such a good phone.
G4 is better though.
The G4 was the same thing with a leather back and a bit better.
The leather back. It's all about the leather back.
Yeah. How are you going to get a patina on plastic?
Canadian carriers sold the G4 for like years and years and years as like a budget device. Probably up until like, I don't know, like something like 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Did it have like a really nice hand feel? Is it easy to like give it to a consumer in a Bell store and be like, this is the phone you want? And they're like, oh, it feels like I'm shaking the hand of a human being. I'll take this.
Human bead man all leather? I guess they are.
Yeah. Well, you know what I mean? It's like a...
Yeah.
It was a live being at one point.
It's kind of like what Patrick said, but I really do respect LG for trying new things, despite it not working out. So I'm a big fan of gimmicks. And I think the G8 and its hand thing... Despite it not being a good phone, I gave it a 7 out of 10. But I still look back and was like, I'm like, man, I wish they just kept at this or kept working harder at it.
I'm shaking my head.
Trying to make it something better or trying to... I think it had lot of potential and maybe could have one day had been something good.
Imagine a world where people were running around like waving at their phones to interact with
But like, what if you're in your car and instead of you like, what are you just like, next song. Like,
you just talk to it. You say, hey, Google, play the next song.
Why are you whispering? Oh,
because I have like 90 different smart devices in here. And anyone that's listening to this on a speaker in the future that also has them will have that same problem.
Well, building off that, like Google's Soli sensor does something very similar.
And they stopped using it because it failed too.
But the G8 did it a little bit better, in my opinion.
Really? Okay.
Yeah,
the G8 had more features, but it was still finicky.
Oh, 100% it was finicky.
Yeah. Like, you could turn the volume up with the G8. Like, you could be like, what was it? You had to, like, come in.
Like, you're turning a knob. Like
in Minority Report?
Yeah.
Yeah, but honestly, it was like that.
Except, and I think the final one I want to give, or actually two more. V20, never had it. Sick double screen though. The two screen thing was I thought those were so cool, but they never came to Canada.
Yeah,
or not all of them came to Canada. And I remember when I started working at Mobile Syrup, I was like, cool, I'll finally get to see a V phone in Canada with two screens.
I don't think either of them came.
I think the V20 was available at Freedom, or not whatever Freedom was back then, Wind.
Okay.
And that was probably it, or and then nothing else really, or maybe the V30 was Wind as well and nothing else. But last not least, I think the LG Wing is such a cool looking thing. I really wanted to try one. I was super excited when LG came out with it, and I'm like, yes, I'm the person who reviews LG phones. I don't think this is gonna be a great phone, but it's
gimmicky. And they were like, it's not coming here.
Yeah, it's not coming here. It's gimmicky AF, and I'm super excited for it, and it's just not coming here. There's no more rollable. So there it is.
Roger should sell the Wing for $0.
I'd buy it.
Honestly, the Wing, like beyond it being like a huge, bulky, like big phone that I don't want, I do see the like, I see the value of being able to like watch YouTube and scroll Reddit at the same time.
Yep. I think it's such a cool idea, and it's unfortunate that it didn't come here. But it's also like one of the reasons why this company is dead.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
They just sunk how many thousands of or millions? You know, how much does it cost to R&D a phone that you know will never sell? Like, you know, who, how many times does that have to be approved?
Like, yeah. They did it for 5 years.
Yes. Yeah.
Nice. All right. Let's shift gears and talk about Apple stuff. Apple's apparently going to have a April event, a spring event. It's supposed to happen on March 16th, then the 23rd. Now rumors are pointing to mid-April. What's like a little bit interesting about this event and probably slightly more exciting than your typical Apple event is we don't know what they're going to show off. There's like a wide variety of possibilities. So there's like the AirTags, which we know are a thing. They've been in like Apple support videos by accident before. We know they exist. It's just a matter of when they get revealed. There's like the third gen AirPods. There's the new iMac with minimized bezels and an M1 like desktop level chip. There's the new iPad Pro possibility. Then there's like the iPad Mini. It hasn't been refreshed in a really long time. And
I think it's coming with MagSafe.
An iPad Mini with MagSafe.
Remember that like Belkin charger thing that you put up the other day?
Yeah.
It was like a stand, but for MagSafe, but it's a MagSafe stand for your phone. But it's like, who's putting their phone? Like, it's too small.
Oh, I remember.
But an iPad on that stand.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, I think so. That'd be cool. I hope so.
So, and then the only other thing that might be shown off is possibly a new Apple TV. Like, there's a rumor that I wrote about yesterday, which will be Tuesday, I guess. Doesn't really matter. Nobody cares when I wrote the story. It was 120 hertz HDMI 2.1 compatible Apple TV, which I don't think is a thing that needs to exist, but it would be kind of cool.
I think if they're going to do it, they should wait. I mean, it's not necessary now. And if you waited a year and a half to 2 years, I think you could do it like from a manufacturing side, you could probably do it cheaper.
Could there probably be a new iPhone, an iPhone SE 3 or something, or a mid-range iPhone? No,
not at this event. Apparently no rumors point to it. Like anything could happen, right? These are just rumors and speculation and rumors about Apple stuff, depending on what source you believe have been wildly inaccurate the last couple months. So, I mean, it's possible. I don't think based on the cadence of when Apple releases SE devices that it would be, but it's possible.
Yeah, I don't think they would have to. I feel like the last one's only, is it a year old or 2 years old?
It came out about this time last year, I think.
Okay, only one then. Then yeah, that's not bad.
I think it came out about this time last year.
I could see them letting it ride for a whole nother year, especially with the failure that the Mini is. I could see them just being spiteful, being like, no more small phones for you guys.
So your sad fault. That the phone's a failure.
Is it? I know. I want one.
It was, to be honest. The last SE was April.
Mm. All right. So yeah, this time last year. All right. Yeah. I don't think they'd redo it. I think if I had to pick some things I think we're going to see, I'm thinking iMac for sure. I want to say AirTags, but it just doesn't make sense to do it at iMac event. But I think iMac and some kind of iPad for sure. But AirTags, like, it's like it has to be there. But we've been saying that for almost a year now, so who knows?
Wasn't there supposed to be like a wireless charger?
Like a charger? That'd be great. Just a whole event for a wireless charger.
I don't know if they're going to do that anymore now that they've focused on, like, now that MagSafe is a thing. I'm not sure if it's worth it for them to like, continue down that path.
I forgot about that. Yeah. I'd want.
I think it'll be the iMac and the new iPad Pro. Like they release a new iPad Pro every year. That's what I think we're going
to
see.
That's true. You're right. We get too many iPad Pros, to be honest, but you're right. Do you think they'll color them like the iPad Airs?
That would be sick, but no.
There's an iPad Air too? Oh my God.
No, the iPad Airs came out last year that are colorful. Remember them? The colorful iPads?
Apple products, just I get so lost this summer.
I like you pretend that as you do this podcast from an iMac.
Yeah, and before we started, you were like, "Oh, if you know, I'd try your Apple Watch."
I know of these products, kind of, but there's so many. Like, I don't know. Air, iPad Air, or iPad Mini. What's the difference between an Air and a Mini? What's the difference between them? What's the normal iPad? Is there still a normal iPad, or is it just the Air now? Yeah. Or is there a Classic? Or is there an iPad?
There's a million iPads. Pro? It's a very confusing.
I get lost in these devices. I know there's one Apple Watch. I mean. Apple Watch, or there's two now. There's like a SE version, right? Oh my God, there's three. Okay, well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know. I see the newest Apple Watch, and I'm like, oh, that looks cool. I should try that. And I see I have a new iPhone, and I'm like, okay. And then I use whatever hand-me-down pack is.
Going back to the Macs, do you remember that John Processor, or not John Processor, John Prosser?
We should call himself.
Yeah, John Prosser leak where he had done renders and they were colorful IMAX based on the iPad Air. Yeah, do you remember that? I think we skipped covering those because I was like, I don't want to like do rent. Like everyone else seemed to be covering them like they were real, but I was like, these are renders. He made them. Like if I made renders, no one would be covering. Like why are we covering renders that someone made? But yeah, if they actually show up like that, I would be A, super, 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 super surprised. But be super excited as well, because I think that that'd be super fun.
Wasn't he like, if this Apple event doesn't happen, I'll shave my head or something?
His eyebrows.
I assume he did. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think he did. He might have. I'm going to look it up right now. If there's anything else to talk about.
So Dean, we just talked about it. Like, you use an iMac every day for work. A lot of people say that the latest iMac's design, which I think you have... not the latest one. It still looks the same, but you have like 2 years ago's processor, I think.
Yeah, F2019.
So when you look at the iMac that you use all the time, like you have more experience using an iMac than me. Does it look old to you? Do you think it needs a design refresh? Because apart from the M1 processor that's supposed to be coming to it, that's the big change this time. Like it's going to apparently look more like what the Pro Display XDR, where it's like all squared off. Do you think it needs a new look?
I think it, the bezels are really big. Like it just looks like these. I don't know. I'm someone who's also used like Huawei's MateBook with like barely any bezels on the laptop at all. Yeah. That's a laptop versus an all-in-one computer where you need to put stuff somewhere from my understanding. But like, even if you go to like if you look at other all-in-one computers from other companies, like HP has quite a few. Like the bezels on the side are like so tiny, and they still have that big chunk on the end. So everywhere on this iMac where I see black, I think could be reduced quite a bit and just increase the size of the screen. And I think that would make a more appealing product. Apple does whatever the F they want, right? So it's like different. Like it's like, I feel like it's I don't think can like I don't think. People might, some people might complain about it, but those are the people who don't have it. Whereas the people who have it don't really notice or care because they're like, this is what I need. The screen's already big enough. I'm good.
There'll be the processor bump too, right? Like at least as far as the M1 MacBook Pro is concerned, like all of those issues that I complain about in our mobile syrup Slack are like, they're gone now, right? I have like,
because you don't have to plug into a display. You are the display.
I can plug it into an external display finally without flickering issues. Took like a ton of experimenting, but I finally figured it out. And the solution was like, just use an official Apple cable, which sucks. It shouldn't be like that. Like that's not the way it should work, but that did solve the problem. And there's also like every single app I use for the most part, including Edge and like all of the Adobe software now have M1 optimized versions. So like for me, the M1... it's perfect now. And that's like another thing that we're going to get with the new iMac. I guess before we wrap up talking about this event, because it's just like, there's so many, it's hard to talk about because we don't know what's going to be shown off specifically, but Bennett, you mentioned that you think there's going to be a new iPad Pro. I know a long time ago, we talked about the fact that you used an iPad in high school as like your main computer, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I, as an old person, find insane. Like that just blows my mind. Like
I think, remember the type of work you do in high school. Like it's never, none of it is intense. None of it's hard to do. Right.
Sure. So but remember like, that too. I'm so old that people didn't even have like smartphones or laptops in high school.
Yeah, no, for sure.
We had LG chocolates. Like
yeah, for sure. And you weren't allowed to have them in class. Keep them in your locker.
Yeah, we weren't. No, you weren't even allowed to take it out.
That's why the LG Rumor was so great. I'd have my phone under my desk and start typing and like pretending like I'm listening. Sorry.
Well, no one actually did it, right?
Yeah.
I remember working at Zellers and like texting from my BlackBerry Curve like within my sleeve because it had a full keyboard. Yeah. I was so good at it.
Anything with a full keyboard back was to, like, dope. Sorry.
Yeah, back to using the iPad Pro as a computer.
Yeah, so you use the iPad. You've used the iPad as like a computer, right? So I'm looking to you right now as like, if you were to do that again, what would you need from a new iPad Pro to be able to do that now with how you use your device every day?
Yeah, so like right now is a bit trickier because like I'm so reliant on Photoshop and like Lightroom. I mean, realistically, I guess you can do a lot of the stuff you can do on desktop on the Photoshop app for iPad.
Most of it's
now,
there now.
Yeah, it's a lot better than it used to be. So that could be done. I guess the biggest issue really is it just comes down to multitasking. You know, back in high school when I really realistically I'm using it a lot of the time to just like take notes and then to like write essays, right? So, and a lot of that time, I guess, like in high school, it's like essays from like books and you've got like a math textbook. So like having the iPad to the side to do some work on is handy. Now with my workflow, like I don't even know how people do it on one screen. I feel so restricted when I go down to one screen because like I literally have one screen in landscape in front of me. This is like my main display where I do like what I'm currently working on. But then I have a whole secondary display with like email, calendar, TweetDeck, InnoReader, and Trello all in like one window that I go through all those. And I need to have like easily accessible. Ideally, I need to see TweetDeck at all times and then hop between those other ones. And then below that, I have like all my chat apps like Slack and Discord and like those other things. So it's tough to do that kind of multitasking on an iPad. And that's really where it falls apart the most for me. I know you can't plug it into a display, but like for the iPad, I don't mind writing on it. On screen keyboard, as long as it's like at a decent angle, I like it. I like the smart covers where you could like put them into that small triangle to get the iPad up a bit. I like typing like that. Like I have no problem typing and writing on an iPad. It really just becomes a bit of a hassle when you need to like be researching through multiple windows. I know you can get like side windows through iOS or iPadOS now. It's not bad. Like the fact that you can get that slide over window to kind of come up and go away, I do use that a lot when I'm on my iPad.
Well, there's also rumors that it's going to support Thunderbolt 3 and have like true external, like extended monitor support. Would that help that situation?
I'd have to try it out. I'd like to. I think that at that point though, once you're getting into true extended monitor support, I think the issues then become like the apps aren't the same, you know, like I'm now so close to a computer. Like part of the reason like I like the iPad is I can throw it in my bag and use it anywhere. Like I don't want to have to have it tied
but
to a desk.
What about, like I know it won't work for you, but you know? There's a lot of people who have kids or whatever. So what about students? So students anywhere from like, I don't know, elementary school all the way up to if you're in a college program, like journalism, for instance, where you don't need like all this extra like computer science stuff, like would that fit into like someone's lifestyle? Like could an iPad?
Yeah, I for sure. I mean, we've seen it do it. We've seen people like even when Bryson was here, he was working off an iPad Pro. It wasn't as efficient as the rest of us. I mean, that's really the biggest issue is that like, you know, on a computer, you can be more efficient just because multitasking is slightly more efficient. And I think that's really what it boils down to. But yeah, for students, like elementary school to high school, you can use an iPad, no problem. I 100% stand by that. I loved it. I just kept an iPad in my bag all the time in high school. And I took all my notes on it, wrote all my essays on it, did all my research on it, edited like small iMovie video projects on it. Like, you know, what you need for the iPad, it can do like all of those things. But for real day-to-day work, it becomes, I don't know, it's harder. I want it to be the thing, and I think I could do it, but I just don't know if I could do it as fast as I could do it on my computer.
For me, there's always just too many workarounds. Like, I have to change the way that I do work to fit with the device, and I don't want to do that. It's too much work.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not bad. Maybe if I was using an iPad, or not an iPad, if I was using a laptop, like a single-screen laptop as my only device, I could switch fairly easily, I think, because then realistically you're just working between like virtual desktops, which is kind of like easy to switch between. It's kind of like switching between apps on iPad. And the fact that you can have multiple versions of a single app is really handy now, and you can split screen some things. But the way that I've set up my workspace right now is like so tweaked for efficiency, and like I'm really trying to get like everything out of it that the iPad, I think, just wouldn't quite
fit. Could there ever be an iPhone DeX? Sorry, just random.
An iPhone DeX? That's never going to happen.
Okay, cool.
I think that's the point of M1 computers.
Oh, yeah, my bad.
Yeah.
Sort of in a way. All right, let's wrap it up.
Well, no, like the M1 computers will run iPad apps, and then the iPads will run computer apps, basically being iPhone DeX.
Yeah, sort of, I guess. Let's talk about the video games that we've been playing lately. I have been playing Outriders, and that's pretty much it. The game had all kinds of issues on the weekend related to servers. I was writing stories about them on Mobile Syrup just for fun.
I saw that.
None of our readers really care. There was like several spikes in traffic just because no one else was awake writing updates based on the Outriders official Twitter account, which was kind of funny. I like the game. It's like, for me, it's everything that I wish Destiny was. The plot's kind of silly, but it's fun. The game itself, like the variety of the missions have variety, which isn't a thing in Destiny, at least in my experience.
What class do you play?
I play as the guy that shoots fire out, and I can't remember the name.
Okay, I don't remember the name either. But yeah, that guy looks cool.
Is it as moody and as touching as the Outsiders?
No, it's not. Speaking moody.
Speaking of high school.
It is quite dark.
Okay.
I'm going to look up Outriders classes really
quick. I think I'd be a trickster. Like the teleporting guy.
Trickster's fun because you can teleport.
And like time. I always look at a lot of gameplay.
I'm a pyromancer. That's what I play.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Level 22 pyromancer. I've played it a ton, probably more than I've played most games in the last couple of years. I like it. It's good. It's there's a lot of things that it does well related to weapon customization, being able to just like take any ability and put it on the gun that you like. There's just less limitations to making weapons perform exactly how you want, which isn't my experience with other looter shooters. Yeah, I that's a brief. I'll probably be talking about this again the next time we do a podcast because I really only play like one or two games at a time now. So I'll just talk more about it in 2 weeks.
Try Remnant from the Ashes, I was going to say, and see what the comparison is. Like, I'm kind of curious to see if those are two similar type games.
Is that an RPG?
It's a looter shooter RPG kind of thing.
Okay.
It's more, yeah. It's like a mixture.
Well, this is kind of the same thing too, right? Where there's like a skill tree, there's like abilities, there's all kinds of stuff. You have to like change your loadout for specific types of enemies. So I get what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bennett, what have you been playing?
Whoa, wait, what's happening to me? Is it 2014 again? I'm playing Forza and Far Cry 4. Yeah, I don't know. My buddy was playing Far Cry 4 the other day and it was like $12 to buy. So I bought it. We played some multiplayer on the weekend. It was pretty fun. And now I'm just kind of like playing it again, which is dumb because Cyberpunk came out. And in my eyes, Cyberpunk and Far Cry are basically kind of the exact same type of game. So realistically, I should just be playing Cyberpunk because I've already played Far Cry 4 like twice. I don't know. Something satisfying about Far Cry 3 and 4. For me.
I love 3.
They're just like... Yeah, and 4 is basically the same. They're just easy. You just run around. You like do whatever you want. You can fly. Yeah, I don't know. And then on top of that, just in Forza, like I said at the top of the show, I've been watching that F1 Drive to Survive documentary or reality TV show type of thing on Netflix. And yeah, you can't watch that for more than 2 episodes. You just like need to play some Forza in your video game time. So I started playing Motorsport 7. Which is one that I never really played because I had gotten so far in 6 that I didn't really feel like restarting. That happened
again.
That's
the latest one, right?
Yeah, well, latest, but it came out a few years ago at this point. But yeah, I got through like the first 4 or 5 like circuits in that, but I'm still on like the sort of crappier cars. And then I kind of got sick of it. And I wanted to do rallies as well. So I skipped over to Forza Horizon 4. Yeah, and so now I was doing Forza Horizon 4. And I think I actually beat the off-road portion of it last night, which I didn't even know was possible, but it ended with this like huge cross-map like race that took like super long, and it was actually so much fun.
Cool.
So big into those, playing them again. Definitely after playing Flight Simulator and having all of the hardware, like the flight yoke and the pedals and the accelerator and all that stuff for Flight Simulator, really makes me want to get a setup like that for Forza and for racing games.
You're just going to put...
Because it's just so immersive.
Like the front of a car in your apartment.
Yeah, I just need a wheel. I just want to like a wheel, clank it down on the desk and just... Because I play, like you do too, I think, but I play in my desk now, my like PC. So I just use this like big screen and I find it actually is a bit more immersive. Oh, it was actually sick last night. So I play on Discord and you can stream your games to your friends.
Yep.
So my friends that were into cars were like, oh, let me see you race. And I was getting so into it that I kept like leaning more and more forward to the point where like my vision was so kind of like focused. I wasn't really seeing the map in the bottom corner. And my one buddy, Dom, was just like, dude, like, are you even watching the map? I was like, no, man, can you call it out? So he stuck with me during my races and would like call it. Be like, all right, keep going, like, gun it. 90 degree turn coming up, probably 500 meters, slow down. So I just like only had to focus on racing. And
hilarious.
He was like my pit crew chief in my ear,
were
like telling me
racing?
When the turns were. Yeah,
it's like a thing Forza in Rally Horizon racing where you have like a person with you telling you like easy left, hard right, straight ahead.
In any like professional racing, it's like that. So it was feeling like super fun and super like intense last night. I was having a blast.
That's hilarious.
But yeah, that's basically what I was playing. But yeah, if you're watching that F1 show and you haven't been playing Forza, it's definitely scratches the same itch and it's a lot of fun.
Nice. Dean, what have you been playing?
I've actually been putting down my controller lately and picking up my phone to play some mobile games. I'm a mobile phone gamer right now. I hate it for myself, but I mean that's what I am. I've been playing Magic the Gathering Arena, that Brad Schenker wrote like a news post about. He wrote the news post and I was like, oh crap, and I just downloaded it right away because I love Magic the Gathering.
You've been a big Magic fan since you were a kid though,
probably,
right?
Probably since
I think you told me about that
my first year of university, so like almost 10 years.
Okay.
Now. And then also been playing a lot of League of Legends Wild Rift, like a lot of it. I hate PC gaming. Like I'm so slow on the keyboard and the mouse that I'm like an old man. I'm a boomer, as my intern referred to me earlier. So like it's just not for me. But like playing on my phone on like I play it on the Z Fold too. So the screen's big enough and it's just fun and fluid, and I'm just enjoying myself and I'm not great yet, but I'm putting in some timing and it's just been a lot of fun. Yeah. So that's been mostly me. I have also downloaded a couple of Apple Arcade games and I'm trying to get into them as well. Fantasian and this one other one called World of Demons, but mostly just Wild Rift right now.
I still want to play Fantasian. I got to get around to that at some point. I think I'm going to play it when I have some time off later this month.
Mm-hmm. Which game?
It's made by the creator of Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
That.
And it's on Apple Arcade, which is a little weird. And it's got like those diorama, like the diorama background.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I didn't know that came out already. I thought that was further on.
No, it came out
pretty sweet.
It's in two parts.
Downloaded it, right? Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. So the only part one's out and then part two's coming out later. Brad's obviously been playing because that's like his jam.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's like halfway through it or something like that.
Yeah, I played maybe 10 minutes of it and was like, but Wild Rift is also on my phone, so I wouldn't do that. Yeah, anyone wants to read my review of Wild Rift to the listeners, it's on mobilesyrup.com. So check it out.
Do you find it really like intensive? I'm testing out a gaming phone right now and I'm wondering like, should I try to run it?
I'm like sure way. It can. I'm sure it can run it. Like if it can't run it, that's to me. Yeah. I tried it on my Pixel 5, and my Pixel 5 also ran it. Right. So, yeah.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. I guess that's the thing with gaming phones is like there really isn't many limitations with them. Fair enough.
Cool. That's it. Thanks for listening to the Syrupcast. You can find me on Twitter at @Patrick_Rourke, and of course on mobilesyrup.com. I don't think I have anything super recent to throw to that I've done. I'll have some features on the site next week, but there's nothing current. I wrote about the new Xbox wireless headset. That would be I guess the most recent big story that I've done. Bennett, where can people find you?
You can find me pretty much anywhere at the Brad Fad, and then on mobilesyrup.com I just put up a review of the Sonos Roam, which I don't think we talked about this episode. We talked about the episode before. Yeah, and I think my opinion, if you heard that one, still stands. If you're a big Sonos fan, you'll love this. If you don't care about the Sonos features, you don't want to be in the ecosystem, get a UE Boom 3 or a JBL Flip 5 or 6, I think. So on the site, I don't know. If you have Apple, I've got an adaptive lighting tutorial I wrote. And if you like mounting things to your desk, I put an SD card under there and wrote about that, which some people hated, some people loved.
I was just
going
to say,
you know,
the comments
find that on your own.
Were so funny. People either loved it or absolutely hated it and like sent me hate tweets telling me like asking me why I let you write that.
I know there's people like, oh my god, I'm doing this right, I'm gonna do this right away, and there's people like, huh, we're writing about taping things to desks now, and it's like, dude, this is like a 150 word story. Relax. We're trying to fill some content.
People are like, it must be a slow news day, and I wanted to be like, yes it was.
It's a long weekend. Of course.
What do you want
from day. Us? It's like Sunday at 2 on Easter.
All right, Dean, where can people find you?
I'm at Twitter and Instagram at The Daily Dean. Daily spelled D-A-L-E-Y, like my last name. And the most recent thing I've written is the League of Legends Wild Rift. So check that out. It's fun.
Cool. And as always, you can find all of our content on mobilesyrup.com. And also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Mobile Syrup. Thanks for listening.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.